Greetings. Welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom. We're now in Masachet Sanhedrin Daf Pei Hei Amud Bet, taking a look at the second, third, the middle part of the first Mishnah in the 10th Perek. Hamakeh Aviv V'Imon. As I mentioned in the earlier podcast, this Perek is laid out in an elegant fashion. The first Mishnah, the first third of the Mishnah, lists the items for which you get chenek, and then each subsequent piece goes through each one and lays out the parameters. And the first one was Hamakeh Aviv V'Imo Eino Chayav Ad She'aseh Ban Chabura. We already saw this in the previous podcast. You are only Chayav for striking parents if you cause a wound. Zeh Chomer B'Mekalel Mim B'Makeh. This is a way in which cursing parents is more severe. K'Mekalel L'Achar Mita Chayav V'Makeh L'Achar Mita Patur. If you curse posthumously, you are still chayav. But if you hit, then you are patur, because even if you hit during their life but don't cause a wound, you're patur. Let's see where this comes from. Tanu Rabbanan, aviv v'imo kilel, this is Parsha Kedoshim, la'achar mita. This is there to extend it even posthumously. Shiyachal, I might have thought, ho'el v'chayev v'makev v'chayev v'makalel, the Torah found liability for both. Just like striking is only while the parent's alive, it should be the same thing. Then that's by way of juxtaposition. It's even more severe. Meaning that when it comes to makeh, you're not allowed to strike anybody, whether they're behaving properly or not. And still you're not chayav after somebody dies. Mekalel shelo asabo shelo b'yamcha kimcha. But when it comes to Mekalel, as we saw previously, you are not liable if it's somebody who's not behaving properly, which means there's a smaller class of people who are objects of klala that would get you chayav. So certainly you shouldn't be chayav after death. So Talmud Lomar Avivi Mokilel. That's why the end of the pasuk adds Avov Avivi Mokilel Achar Mita. It's an extra phrase to extend call out to posthumous cursing. Now, Hanechav Yonatan Demiato Lekra Avivi Imo. Now, if you saw earlier, this only works according to Rabbi Yonatan, who says Avivi Mokilel is an extra phrase. As we'll see, Elo Yeshua Ma'iko Member Yeshua needs that phrase. We'll see. Detanya Ish Ish, the beginning of the pasuk that gives the death penalty for Mekalel, says Ish Ish. Ish Ish, why does it say Ish Ish? To tell you that even if it's not a man, but a daughter, or a mixed whatever, confused, who curses, still liable. Sheikol Tavivitimo, and the Alavivimo, all I know from there is if you curse both parents. Aviv Shalemo, emotional Aviv, what if you curse only father or only mother? Minayin. That's why we have the end of the pasuk. Aviv kilel amo imo kilel divrashia. So you see, Rabbi Shia needs the end of the pasuk to sing, to split up and individuate the liability, and therefore it's not extra for him to extend it to lachar mita. Rabbi Yonatan omer mashma shnehem keachad mashma echad vechad fneatzvo ad shifer lachakatuv yachdav. Rabbi Yonatan disagrees and says, unless the text says the word yachdav, anytime it lists several people who are targets, it means each one of them individually or as a group. So therefore, I would have no reason to think that that you're only liable if you curse both of them. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yonatan, avivim okilel really is extra to extend it lachar mita. But Rabbi Yeshia needs it to individuate. So manale, so nafgale mi umakalel avivimo mochumad, he gets from the pasuk in Mishpatim. So now, what is Rabbi Yonatan going to do with that pasuk in Mishpatim? According to him, it's extra. He said, that one is needed to extend it to a daughter. So why doesn't Rabbi Yonatan learn it from Ish Ish? The answer is, Ish Ish is just a normal rhetoric, and it's not extra. Now, our Mishnah noted the Chumrah of Mekalel. Why didn't the Mishnah also list as a balance the Chumrah of Makeh? When it comes to Makeh, if you strike somebody, even if they're not behaving appropriately, you're still Chayav. But when it comes to Makeh, the answer is, as we already saw this in the previous podcast, there is a school of thought that says that even though the delimiter of Ma'aseh Amcha is listed in the context of Klala, because of the juxtaposition of the two prohibitions to parents, Haka'ah and Klala, we compare them and extend Haka'ah, limit Haka'ah that way also. So therefore, our Mishnah must hold that way. So Leiman Nitanoi Karin Tanoi. So it sounds like the machloket between the Mishnah and the other position is the same machloket as this. Tatani chara kuti atam tzuve al hakato. If you hit a kuti, you are liable. The atam tzuve al kilato. If you curse a kuti, you're not liable. Tanirach yatam tzuve al kilato al hakato. You're exempt from both. Now, Savrua, we think the Kuliyama Kutim Geriamatein, that both positions hold that the Kutim were legitimate converts. Meaning, we go back to Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Zayin, and we see that Sancheriv, as part of his population transfer, brought people from Kuta and other places into Shomron, and they were doing Avodah Zarah, and then God sent the lions, and then they became God-fearers, if you will. And the Machloket that raged throughout the Mishnaic period was, do we consider them Gerei Emet and Jewish, or Jewish with an asterisk, or Gerei Arayot, they just converted out of fear of the lions and not real conversion, and therefore they're not really Jewish at all. So we assume that both positions in this machloket about being liable for striking a kuti hold that they are Gerei Emet. So my labakim palgian, but of course they don't behave properly, so therefore isn't the machloket, the first position says we don't compare the two, and therefore when it comes to haka'ah, you get any Jew, Yechayiv. And the other one says, no, we do compare them, and therefore you're not liable for striking a kuti. Lo, the kuli alma, lomakshina kala kala. Everybody agrees that we don't compare the two. In other words, haka is always a problem. Ha chabakim pagi, the machloket is, marsava kutim gerei ametein, marsava kutim gerei ayotein. The question, the machloket simply is, are kutim gerei ayot? So if you say they're not really Jewish, then you're not chayiv for anything. So yachi anunitani alava shiroki Yisrael, but wait a second. At the end of that brayta, it says, but the shore is treated like a shore Yisrael. Let's look at the Sugin Baba Kama Daf Lamed Zayin about the difference between shore Kanani and shore Yisrael. But the shore of a kuti is like a shore of Yisrael, where you're fully liable if you hurt his property. So nobody in that brayta could take the position that they're not Jewish. Shmamina by Kisha Peligi Shmamina. So we were right the first time that the machloket is about the Hekesh. Okay, next piece, which is the final third of Mishnah Aleph. HaGonev Nefesh Yisrael. The second crime on our list of Nechrakin is Gonev Nefesh, which means kidnapping. You're liable for kidnapping. How does that work? Eino chayav ad sheyachzisen l'shuto. You're only chayav, first of all, when you bring the victim into your own property. V'yomer ad sheyachzisen l'shuto v'yishtamesh bo. You're not only that, but you have to put him to work. Shemarit amer bo u'mecharo, which means you have to kidnap him, bring him into your property, make him work, and then sell him. That's the only way you're liable. If you kidnap your own child, if you stole somebody who's a half Eben, half Ben Chorin, again a machloket, here Rabbi Yehuda taking the position, and again Chachamim Potrim. So let's take a look first at the issue of the machloket with Rabbi Yehuda about whether or not you need to put this guy to work to be chayiv. The Tanakama lo bayimor? Wasn't Tanakama doesn't agree? The Pasuk says, you have to make him work. The machloket is how much work. Tanakama says it has to be real work worthy of something. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The Tanakama says any little work is enough. Rabbi Yehuda says no. There has to be real work that's worth Shabbat Pruta. Why Rabbi Yehuda? So Rabbi Yehuda then asks, Gnavo u'macharo yashen. Let's say you took a guy while he was sleeping, you stole him and you sold him before he woke up. Mahu, are you chayiv? After all, you didn't do any work. What if you sold a woman, you took a woman, you sold her for a fetus, she's pregnant. So, is that called derech imur? So, what do you mean? There's no imur at all. It's not a question of derech imur. Guy's asleep. The woman's just there. Nobody's doing anything to them. So, no, the case is where you stole the guy while he was sleeping, you kidnapped him, and then you lay on him, meaning you used him as a soft bed. The woman is pregnant, you put her up as like a windshield. So, is that considered to be using them? And the answer is, teiku, we don't know. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, here's the essential sugya of Gnevat Nefashot. Ki yimatzei ish gonev nefesh me'achav, if it's found to be that a man, stole one of his brothers, ein li'ala ish ganav, all that extends to is if a man is the kidnapper. Yishaminayin, what if a woman's a kidnapper? Therefore, we have the pasuk in Mishpatim, if somebody steals a person. So, and the yella ishaganav. So far from kitayt say I have ishaganav benishal enish. Doesn't matter who they steal. The ishashagan va ish. And now from mishpatim I have if a woman steals an ish. Ishashagan va ishaminayin. How do I know if a woman kidnaps a woman? Tamalomar umeta ganavahu. At the end of our pasuk in Dvarim it says umeta ganavahu mikol makom. Whoever the ganav is dies, and whoever they kidnapped. Tanya, Idach, we have another brayta. Kimatzei, Ish gonna be nefesh me'achav. Echad gonna be ta'ish, whether you get that for man. Echad gonna be ta'isha, a woman. Chad gever chad even shuchar v'katan, whether you kidnap a ger, so that's the echav problem, or an eved who has been freed, or a minor chayav. Kanavov v'lo mecharo. What if you kidnapped him and didn't sell him, or mecharo v'adayin yoshneu b'rishuto? You sold him, but he's not yet out of your property when you get caught. Patur, because it has to go through all those things to be chayav. Mecharo l'aviv lechav. What if you stole this person and you sold him to his own father, to his own brothers? Lechamin akrovim chayav. You're still liable. We'll see why. Hagonev et ha'avadim patur. But if you kidnap an eved, you're patur. Now, wait a second. Tani tani kamedu Rav Sheshet. A tana taught this bright in front of Rav Sheshet. Amar le anishon Rabbi Shimon omer miyachav at shiyotzenu mishut achav. I have the position that Rabbi Shimon said, gonev nefesh miyachav doesn't just mean you steal one of your brothers, it means you take him away from his brothers. So ve'atamar chayav, so therefore if you stole somebody and sold him to his brothers, how could it be chayav? Tani patur, Rabbi Sheshet said to the Tana, change it and say patur. So my kusha, why is he bothered? Dilmaha Rabbi Shimon Harabanan. Maybe this bright is Rabbanan. He's quoting Rabbi Shimon. He says Lo Sakadaitach, because that bright is from the Sifri. Zem Rabbi Yochanan, Stam Matnitin Rameir. What do we know? That a Stam Mishnah is authored by Rameir. Stam Tosefta Rabbi Menchemi. If you find a Tosefta that's unattributed, it's from Menchemi's school. Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the anonymous author of the passages, or should we say, the author of the anonymous passages in the Sifra, the Torah Kohanim. Stam Sifri Rabbi Shimon, Bechulu Al Libdo Rabbi Kiva. They're all students of Rabbi Kiva, so it's all Rabbi Kiva's teaching. But Rabbi Shimon is the author of the anonymous passage in the Sifri, which we just had. So that's what Rabbi Sheshet said. Since I know that Rabbi Shimon says Patur, change it to Patur. Hagonev Beno. So the Mishnah said that if you kidnap your own son, the Rabbanan say that you are Patur. So my time at Rabbanan, I'm Rabbi Adam Akra Ki Yimatzei. Because the Torah says, if it's found, Prat Matsui, as opposed to someone who's always found there. Well, Papa Labayas says, El Meat, if that's the case, Ki Matse Ish Shochevi Mishabu Lat Baal, if a man is found sleeping with another man's wife. So, Achanami Ki Matse Prat Matsui, so you're going to say, Kigon Shobet Plonid Shrichan Gabayu? You're going to say that that excludes a case where the families are very close to each other and they're familiar with each other, like, and they didn't want to say the name of this family, but these guys are always hanging out with each other. Achanami De Ptiri, so if there's adultery there, they're Pater, because it's Yimatse. So Marle Anami Vinim Saviado Kamin. Abaye says, no, I didn't mean it from Kiimatse at the beginning of the Pasuk, which is a parallel to the Pasuk about adultery, but rather Nim Sabiado, which is unique. So Amarava, but it's still an issue of somebody who's not normally there. Says Rava says, Zilka Hani Mikri Dardaki Umatnu Rabbanan, these people who teach little kids or teach the students, Kimitsuin Biadan Damu. They are people who the kids are always with them. And therefore, Uptiri, if for some reason they would kidnap somebody, they'd be patur, because it would fail on the count of an insav yado. Okay, the end of the Mishnah was Garnav Misha Chetzio Eved Chetzio Ben Chori. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yechayav, Rabbanan says, you're patur. Tanatam, let's see, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Lavadim Boshet. In Bavakama Perak Chet Mishnah Gimel, Rabbi Yehuda said that Avadim have no Boshet, which means if you hit an Eved, you don't have to pay for the Boshet, for the boshet payment. My tam Rabbi Yehuda. So what's Rabbi Yehuda's reason over there? Amar Kra Ki Natsu Anashim Yachdav Ish Ve'Achiv. That's the pasuk of boshet when the woman reaches in to grab her husband's assailant, and it says Ish Ve'Achiv, a man and his brother. So it's Mishi Yesh Lo Achvad, can only be a man who has fraternity. Yatsayevet Shein Lo Achvad, an eved is not part of the fraternity, therefore he doesn't have boshet. Rabbanan says, Achivu mitzvot. They disagree and says, you are, he is your brother when it comes to mitzvot. He might not be related to you, but he, once he's an Eved Kanani, he's chayav mitzvot. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan there. But here Rabbi Yehuda said you are chayav for chatzi Eved chatzi ben choyin if you steal, and again it's achav. So what does Rabbi Yehuda do with achav? If he used achav to knock out an Eved, why is he including him here? So the answer is, Savar miachav lafuki avadim. The pasuk says Gonev Nefesh Me'achav knocks out regular avadim. When it says Bnei Yisrael in the pasuk, that's there to exclude even somebody who's a half eved. How can you be half eved? Parenthetically, as if let's say a man owned an eved and he died and he had two sons and the inheritance one son freed the half, as an example. Now, Mi Bnei Yisrael is further exclusive. The mem, so Uti Mishachetzu V'Chetzu V'Chorin, another miut of the same thing. Miut achamiut. What's a miut achamiut? A miut achamiut el rabot. It turns backwards, becomes a ribui. Then you include a chatziv and a chatziv and chorin. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda normally says Echav knocks out Eved, and therefore Mi Bnei Yisrael twice, Bnei Yisrael, Mi Bnei Yisrael knocks out an Echatzi Eved and then brings him back. Rabbanan says Me'echav Lafuki Evedim L'mashvalu. They don't buy that. Achivu Mitzvot. So the first miut that Rabbi Yehuda had, they don't buy it all, as you saw in Bava Kama. Bnei Yisrael, Mi Bnei Yisrael, Chad Mutev, Chetziv, Ben Chorin. In other words, they say Bnei Yisrael and Mi Bnei Yisrael are all the same thing. It's one miut, knocks out Chatziyav Chatziyav and Chorin, and therefore, indeed, you are patur. Okay, Azarali Gonev Nefesh Minayin. Now, so far we know the source for the punishment, but how do we know the Azara? Rabbi Yeshia Amar Milo Tignov. Lo Tignov in the 10 statements, the 10 utterances, commonly miscalled the 10 commandments, Lo Tignov is kidnapping. Bnei Yisrael can't be sold as avadim. So for lo pliga, they're not disagreeing. Mar kachashi lav de geneva. Rabbi Yoshia is referring to the lav of stealing the guy. Mar kachashi v'lei de mechira. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about the lav of selling him. Now Tan Rabbanan lo tignov, the very famous brayta. Begorei nefashot hakatum medaber. Lo tignov in the 10 statements is in the Decalogue is talking about kidnapping. Who says it's kidnapping? Maybe it's stealing money. And what are the hermeneutical rules? One of them is learning from context. What's the context of the utterances? They're all things that are capital crimes. Avodazara, Shabbat, hurting parents, etc. Afkan and Fashot. There's no way stealing money is ever going to be a capital crime, so it must be kidnapping. Tanyidach, we have a symmetrical braita. Lo tignovu in Parsha Kedoshim. That's talking about stealing stuff. Tell me, maybe it's kidnapping. Same thing. The rule of context definition. Everything else in that piece in Kedoshim is talking about stealing money and financial liability. Afkan mamon, so therefore it must be mamon. Okay, the last piece we're going to look at today is going to take us to the issue of Edim Zomim. Itmar, Ede Gneva ve'Ede Mechira. Remember, there's two steps, really three steps, in kidnapping. And that's stealing the guy, putting him to work, and then selling him. So Ede Gneva ve'Ede Mechira b'nefesh shehu zamu. Let's say you have Edim of kidnapping, and other guys who testify that they saw him sell the guy, and they were muzam. Chezki amar ein naragin. You can't kill him, even though the crime they were trying to convict this guy of was a capital crime. Let's see. In Cheskat HaBatim, in Babatra, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan disagree about whether testimony about one particular year of Chazakah is meaningful vis-a-vis Hazamah. Rabbi Akiva says it's not, because Al Pishnaim Edim Yakum Davar, Davar Velo Chatzi Davar, which means the Edim have to testify to a full consequential testimony. And testifying to 1 year is not meaningful. And so therefore you're out. And therefore Chezkiah says that when you testify that this guy kidnapped or this guy sold him, that's not a full consequence. Rabbi Yochanan says like the Rabbanan that says, Al Pishnaim Shnaim Yakum Davar means Achfilu Chatzi Davar, meaning anything that contributes to the consequence. Now, Umode Chizkiah Be'inim Achronim Shal Ben Sorer Moreh. Remember, Ben Sorer Moreh, first there's Edim that come and testify that he stole and that he ate and drank, and we give him Makot and we warn him. And then a second time, same thing, and he gets killed. So the second set of Edim, of Ben Sorer Moreh, Shuzamu, Shineharagain, even though they're contributory, that without the first Edim they don't exist, because the first set can say, Malkotoban, we came to testify to get him, give him Makot. So therefore these guys are the sole contributors to the testimony, or the sole participants in the testimony that gets him killed, and therefore he could be killed. That's Chizkiah. That's what we think. Chizkiah didn't say that though. Matkar Papa, or Papa challenges, says, if that's the case, then Chizkiah should say that the Edim of Mechira, of a kidnapped victim, should also be killed. Because, after all, the first witnesses who said we saw him kidnap the guy could say we only came to make sure he got makot. We didn't come to get him killed. Now, and if you think Chizkiah maybe says that just kidnapping alone doesn't get you makot, that's not true. If you have Edim just about Geneva and they're Muzam, same Chizkan Riochanan about whether they get Makot. And in that discussion we said Chizkia must be the one who said they do get Makot. How do we know that? Because Chizkia said they do not get killed, as we just saw. Because Rabbi Yochanan couldn't say that. Because Rabbi Yochanan said if you're mazim them, they'd be killed. If that's the case, after all, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you could get killed for testifying falsely that the guy just kidnapped somebody. And if that's the case, then you can't ever get makot for that because it's a law that could lead to a capital punishment. So now, so if the guy who kidnapped himself doesn't get makot, how could the Edom get makot for that? The Edom Zomin. So El Amar, so therefore Chizkia would have to say that Edom Echira would get killed because the Eide Geneva could say we just came to give a makot, and Chizkia has to say that they do get makot for that. So we say that now Chizkia is saying that I admit that the second set of Edim Ben Soromara could get killed doesn't work. So Rav Papa says reverse that. Elamar Papa be Edim Mechira to Kuli Amal Opligin in Arogin. You have to say that everybody will agree, even Chizkia will agree, that if you have Edim that a guy sold somebody else, then they are, and they're lying, they get killed. Ki pligi beidi geneva, they're machloket. Rabbi Yochanan Chizkiah is about the first Edim. Chizkiah amar ein neragin, why? Because geneva l'chuda kaima, mechira l'chuda kaima. Geneva and mechira stand separately, which is, by the way, why Chizkiah says you'd get makot for just stealing a guy, because it's a separate prohibition. Rabbi Yochanan amar ein neragin, why? Geneva t'chalta de mechira, he says it's all one continuum, stealing and then selling the guy, and therefore Edim Zomin would be killed for that. Umod Rabbi Yochanan. Now the acceding is Rabbi Yochanan. The Edim Rishonim Shal Ben Soromar Shuza Musha In Naragim. Dach Shechli Lamar Lakoto Banu. Rabbi Yochanan would then have to admit that the first set of Edim of Ben Soromar could not get killed because they'd say we just came to testify that he got drunk the first time and he had to give him makot. Now we're not done with this. Amar Abaye. Abaye says a very strange thing. Hakomodim Ben Soromar. Hakomodim Ben Soromar. Machlok Ben Soromar. Everybody agrees about Zin Sormara, everybody agrees about Zin Sormara, and there's a machloket about it. Let's see. Hakomodim Ben Sormara, Be'edim HaRishonim, Shen Neragin. Everybody agrees that the first Edim of Ben Sormara can't be killed, Mitoch Shicholin Amar Lakotobanu. Because they could just say, we came to give him makot. Hakomodim Ben Sormara, Be'edim HaRishonim, Shen Neragin. Certainly the last set of Edim are killed. Everybody agrees. Shen Neragin, Cholin Amar Lakotobanu. Because the first set can say, we came to give him makot. Mahani Kule Dobar Kavavdile. And the second Edim did everything. Machlok ben Soromara, the Machlok Rabbi Yochanan Chizkia is a ben Soromara in Kitwa case. Shnayim Rimfanin Niganam, Shnayim Rimfanin Nucha Achal. If two Edim come and say, we testify that he stole money from his father, and another two came and say, and then we testify that he got drunk and ate all that meat, which you need both of them. So that's what the Machlok it would be. Do the things stand independently or not? Now, Amar Ravasi, Ravasi comes along and throws a monkey wrench into the works. He says, Edei Mechira B'nefesh Huzamu. Let's say of the Edei Mechira that we just said everybody agrees you could get killed. He says, Ein Neharagin. Why? Mitoch She'chol Amar Avdim Acharti. There's another twist. You saw me sell a guy? It was my slave. And since I could have said it was my slave, therefore, he couldn't be killed and they can't be killed. Rav Yosef, K'man Azla Hashemata Ravasi, K'Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Yosef said, that must follow Rabbi Akiva, the Mar Davar, Velo Chatzi Davar. And therefore, Edim Mechira really are nothing. So Rabbi, the Ikra, Abadon, Aragin, would you think what Abadon, they would be killed? HaMitoch Kama, Ravasi didn't say based on Rabbi Akiva, he said Mitoch, meaning a person could always claim, this is my Eved, prove it's not. Ela, Afilu Temer Abadon, Uvedolo Atu Ede Gneva. We're talking about a case where there were no Edim that he stole this guy. So you saw me sell somebody? Maybe he was my slave. So Yachim Ma'ilam, if that's the case, then Rav Asi is not teaching us anything. It's absolutely obvious. So Lo Tzricha Rav Agav De'atu Levasof. No, actually, what if Eide Geneva came later? Vakati Ma'ilam, still it's a no-brainer. When these guys testified that this man sold somebody, at that point, he could say, it's my Eved, and there's nothing to do. So Lo Tzricha De'kam Meramze Ramuze. If the Eide Mechira are standing there winking at each other, making signals, which we could then figure out means they know that Eide Gneva are going to come later and they're really going to get this guy killed, right? I might think that hint really means something. Kamashvan Ramizalav Klumhu, that teaches us that this hinting doesn't mean anything, it's insignificant, and therefore, since when they testified, there was nothing, this guy could easily just have said, prove that it wasn't my slave, he's off the hook, therefore they can't be killed. And that's Ravasi's position. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in Yirtz Hashem in the next podcast at the second Mishnah, Zaken Mamre, and we will move further in our inquiry of Elohein HaNechlakin. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.